It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the Fantasy Football Champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Breeze, throwing, back in the end zone, leaping grab, touchdown!
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace are the Fantasy Football Champs.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our very special NFL Divisional Playoff Preview Show here on the Fantasy Football Champs, presented by DraftKings. We are pleased to be broadcasting live on Patriots.com radio. We are on for the next 2 hours, and we are taking your phone calls at 855-728-7500. 855-PATS-500. The email here is webradio@patriots.com. I am Bill Enright from FF Champs, joined by Anthony Grace, a.k.a. the PBR Monster, and our esteemed producer, Kevin Collins. We all know the youth of America looks up to him. Fellas, only a couple more days until what I consider one of the greatest weekends in all of sports, not alone just the NFL. Four big matchups this weekend, two on Saturday, two on Sunday. We got a lot to discuss, but first, how you boys feeling?
Yeah, man, 48 hours out. We got divisional football coming up. Like you said, probably this and maybe that first weekend in March Madness are the two most exciting sports weekends of the year, I think.
I'm very cold, Bill. The studio is like 10 below in here.
Now, that was gonna be my next question, because I think we're all in this. By all, the three of us, we're all in different locations.
Yeah.
Anthony's in Pennsylvania.
I'm the furthest north.
I'm in North Jersey.
Kevin's the great white north.
In Gillette Stadium. And we're all kind of in this sub-zero
the polar vortex.
Front.
Uh-huh.
But from what I understand, Kevin, I think they closed school in Boston.
Yeah, Boston has no school. There's most school districts around this area did not have school today.
Never heard of that before.
I never heard of that either in my day, Bill. You were standing out there in the bus stop by hook or by crook, and maybe Mom would, give you a little hot cocoa or something to warm you up in the morning. Maybe I'd steal some of Dad's bourbon, whatever to warm you up in the morning. But they were real worried about, kids standing out the bus stop or the kids in the city, you got these, first graders or whatever trying to walk five blocks down the street to school or whatever. I mean, they don't want these little kids getting frostbite.
Right.
So we had practice the last couple days, and in the locker room after practice, Bill, you saw some pretty interesting scenes. You had guys with, for lack of better terms, frozen snot coming out of their nose. You had guys who had beards with icicles hanging off them that I couldn't tell whether it was drool or water that they had squirted into their helmet that just kind of froze. But some pretty interesting stuff going on there in the locker room.
Because they were practicing outside.
Yeah, they've been outside all 3 days. And I got in the truck this morning it must have been about 7:15. And it had been warming up for maybe, 7 or 8 minutes I left it on running in the driveway.
Yeah.
So it's good and warmed up. And it was -3 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's not with wind chill or anything like that.
Right. That's just the temperature.
And that was after the sun came up. So I could only imagine what it was, an hour or two before. But unfortunately, Bill, with us hosting a game, the little studio that I'm in here, it's right next to the truck bays, for the NBC people.
They're all open.
So all those things are open since we're hosting. And all these poor guys, easy for me to complain. At least I have walls around me. But these poor guys working to set up for the NBC crew are all outside and exposed to the elements.
Right.
But these bays are wide open. So you got that, I've seen -25 to -35 wind chill that we had today sweeping in. And I have, no insulation or anything. So I'm sitting here. With a winter, I have a long sleeve shirt, a fleece, my winter jacket, my winter hat, and my gloves while I'm operating the board.
Wow!
And I have a little space heater that I'm hugging to, that's warming my feet a little bit. So that's what we're looking at.
Forecast for this weekend's game at Gillette Stadium: 16 degrees and clear.
Yeah.
No rain, no snow.
That'll be tropical, Bill.
A little bit of wind, 10-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah.
And actually, there's another. Another cold game this weekend, of course, that's in Lambeau Field.
But the
Green Bay and Dallas, 18 degrees. But the two other games, Seattle and Denver, 40 degrees in that one. 42 and 47 in Seattle, 42 in Denver. So Patriots-Ravens, definitely the coldest game of the weekend, 16 degrees Fahrenheit. And you know what? It's interesting because that's the earlier of the two games on Saturdays, 4:35 Eastern.
Yeah, the crazy thing is, Bill, if it hits, we were talking about this today. We were like, if it's somehow during the day on Saturday, maybe not, you know, for kickoff because it'll be nighttime. Mm-hmm. But during the day, if we're walking into the stadium or whatever, you know, at noontime and it's 25 out, it's going to feel like it's 70 the way that it's been going here. I mean, it's going to be like a heat wave.
Well, listen, you're not going to notice much of a difference from 3 degrees to 15 degrees or 16 degrees, whatever
it
is.
No, but it's bad.
It's bad either way. So if you are going to the game, make sure that you wear, you know, tank top, shorts, sandals, something along those lines.
Anytime you have school canceled,
appropriate clothing.
Yeah, anytime you have school canceled because of the cold and not like a water main or anything, you know, it's pretty unprecedented.
Unprecedented.
Yeah, however you say it. Yeah. My lips are frozen together.
Yeah, they had that. They didn't close schools around me, but they had at least like delays for the kids, and I never saw anything like that before, just because of how cold it was. But I don't blame them, because I went outside this morning to put the garbage out, and I was like, I can't take the cold. I hate it.
It's one thing for like, you know, if you're in high school, whatever, you know, you figure it out. But it's like, you don't want little kids that don't know any better just kind of standing out there like walking around, and then all of a sudden they come in and their skin's black. That's not what you want.
You climbing Mount Everest out there?
That's
jeez.
Not good. But if you get the wind chill, like the supposedly was 25, 35 below, I mean, that stuff happens pretty quick.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that wind whipping around is what kills it.
Exactly. Especially when you're in a stadium, circular stadium like Gillette, and they have the two openings in the end zones.
Yeah.
The winds will certainly whip through there.
Yeah, that's what kills. I think the cold is dealable, but once that wind starts coming on you, forget about it. That is just what kills you.
All right, so here's what we're doing today. NFL Divisional Playoffs, four great games. We're going to dive deep into all the matchups, highlight the games from both a fantasy angle and a little bit of an X's and O's angle, talk about some offense, talk about some defense, talk about some of the mismatches. But, of course, we are going to highlight the players that you'll want to use on or in your DraftKings lineups. We're going to go over some really cool DraftKings contests that you'll want to get in on the action this weekend if you want to win some real cash playing fantasy football for a divisional weekend. We'll analyze some of the players that you'll want to use in your traditional NFL playoff fantasy leagues as well. So we'll do some fantasy analysis today, both DraftKings and your traditional, you know, postseason leagues. We'll also make our playoff predictions, tell you who's going to advance to the AFC and the NFC championships. Now, I said this weekend is the best weekend in sports for me because although the AFC and NFC championships will determine who goes to the Super Bowl, there's only four teams in action, only two games.
Yeah.
This weekend, Saturday and Sunday, you can't beat the two quality matchups. The four quality matchups on two separate days, like divisional weekend offers. That's why I love it so much.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, obviously the championship games, AFC, NFC, are a little more important this weekend, getting you into the Super Bowl. But having back-to-back games on each of these days makes it a little bit more exciting. One game a day is great, but, I mean, it's just having two games back-to-back is so much better. It just is. The more football, the better for me. That's all I know.
The part that I like more than any other sport is I get to sit down. The Patriots game starts at 4:30, right?
Yes.
I will be sitting down comfortably. I don't go out for the playoffs. Typically, I don't go out. I get to sit down from 4:30, and then what time's the other game end? Like 11 o'clock, 11:30?
Yeah, they start like a little after 8, something like 8:15, I think.
Right. So I'll order food. I'll have a couple beverages, but I won't move. Like, I'll just be chilling.
I don't blame you.
That's
I wouldn't either.
Great. That's what's great. Like, I'm just watching football, and they're two great games, right? On each day, four games total. But on Saturday, I'm talking Saturday, two great games. Start off with the Pats and the Ravens. Can't wait to watch it. A lot of great NFL action. And I'll just be, like, hanging out. Maybe I'll have some friends over. Maybe I'll go to the cigar lounge and I'll have a nice cigar, drinking an espresso, maybe an adult beverage or two. But that's it. Like, I'm not doing anything. I'm not at the bar. I'm not going crazy for my fantasy teams this weekend. Like, I'm not, like, pulling for a player to get in on the end zone or get that one extra yard for the bonus. you know, I'll have some DraftKings action going, but I'm not pulling at myself saying, all right, I need this to happen to win this matchup. It's more of just me being a football fan getting to enjoy the games.
Yeah, I think that this weekend and the playoffs, the NFL playoffs for us are a lot more fun because it's a lot less stress. We don't have to go out there, like you said, no fantasy implications. It's just go out there, watch the games, enjoy the games. Obviously, if your team's playing, then you feel a little bit more stress as you're watching the game. But if your team's not in it, all it is fun for you. Just as long as you see some good games, great action, back and forth, then that's all you want to see at this point.
Exactly. Like, so I won't need to worry about any of my friends talking trash to me. You know, if I don't know, player
right.
X has a bad game.
Yeah. Now, do you get with your buddies? Do you get like the 800 text messages during Sunday where they're like, oh, did you see what just happened? Oh, did you see what just happened? We're watching the same game, man. Like, are we on the same page with that? I cannot stand that. So I am glad when the playoffs come and I can just, like I said, kick back, relax, not worry about people texting me or getting at me saying things about this, that, and the other thing. Just enjoyable football. I love it.
And also what I like about this weekend is other than the stupid Cowboys, none of my friends are fans of these teams.
Yeah.
So it's not like I have to hear them saying, oh, we're going to the Super Bowl. I can just talk to neutral fans, neutral, knowledgeable fans that don't have a biased interest in these games and will sit down and talk to me and say, yeah, man, Brady is just – he is just phenomenal. How awesome is Gronk playing these days? The Seahawks defense, they've been really stepping up their game. I don't know if Cam's going to be able to pass against them. Like a neutral conversation – it's just so great to have this time of year instead of having to deal with all like the hoopla and who's rooting for who and do you have any fantasy guys going and are you rooting for their specific team. It's just it's a little bit more enjoyable, different kind of enjoyable than what we're going through weeks 1 through 16 with fantasy, but certainly enjoyable nonetheless.
Oh, definitely. Now, if your team isn't in the playoffs, Bill, do you kind of adopt a team who's left and say, I kind of am rooting for this team to make it or win it, or do you just kind of hope, look, whatever happens, happens, I just want to see good matchups no matter what?
No, absolutely. I'll be rooting for the Pats.
There you go. I would love to see them, make another run and solidify Tom Brady at Bill Belichick. I mean, they're the best over, in my opinion, but another Super Bowl title for them, it would just definitely put them over the top.
I'd like to see them win, and it's not because I am a fan of the team. It's just because out of all the teams, I think I've been saying it all year. I think the Patriots are going to go to the Super Bowl. I think the Packers are going to go to the Super Bowl. And for a while, I said the Broncos. So I like to see my predictions come true. And since we are broadcasting on Patriots.com radio, I think it's good for business if they're have as much success as possible. Sometimes
totally.
You got to take the company line, my man.
I totally agree, and a lot of times I don't pull for a certain team. I like to see good games, but more certain players, like the Patriots, for example, Darrelle Revis, a guy been playing at a high level his entire career. Guys like that who don't have a Super Bowl win, those are the guys I kind of root for in the playoffs and say, look, got a good team, good chance to win the Super Bowl. I kind of root for guys to, you know, just get over the top and get that ring that they've been fighting for 8, 9, 10 years.
Yeah, that's another good point. I wish we had – maybe we can do that – once we come down and narrow it down to who is in the Super Bowl, kind of just go through the rosters and say, you know what, this guy's been in the league for, you know, stellar career, no Super Bowl ring, let's see him get a ring. Yeah, we should definitely do that. That's a good point, Ant.
There we go, something fun to do next week, 2 weeks.
Let's get into some news and notes here as we're about to break down some of the divisional action for this weekend. Probably the biggest injury news heading into this weekend, Aaron Rodgers, quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, possible MVP candidate for the 2014 season, has a parent, Adam Schefter of ESPN, is reporting that he has a tear in his calf in addition to a sprain in that calf muscle. So we saw him get carted off the field, what was it, week 17?
Yes.
And then they had the bye. He's still not practicing. He's practicing on a limited basis. But how about Schefter coming out saying that he has a slight tear in his calf?
Yeah, that just adds to the I guess the intrigue and the mystery to what's going to happen in this game. He's going to play no matter what. Obviously, it's a playoff game. He's not going to sit there and let Matt Flynn or whoever take snaps for him. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens and how this changes the Cowboys' defensive game plan potentially on how they're going to get at Aaron Rodgers. I mean, do you bring more people because he's limited he's got limited mobility? So it's going to change plans on both sides of the ball. It'll make it a little more interesting, but he's going to play. He's going to tough it out, and hopefully it doesn't affect him to the point where the Green Bay Packers end up losing that game because he's not 100% and still in the game.
Here's a couple quotes from Green Bay Packers head coach Mike McCarthy. Aaron Rodgers, quote, did everything we asked him to do today. And then another quote, it's always a better practice when he's out there. So not exactly any informative details from the Packers head coach about, you know, how Rodgers is feeling. But all signs indicate that he's going to play. I mean, it would be silly to think that Rodgers is not going to play. But the question now is he going to play at 100%? And I don't think that's even close to being the case.
I don't think you can. I mean, if you have a tear in a muscle, I don't care what it is, that's going to hinder you in some way, shape, or form. It's just going to be uncomfortable for him to play. Now, the fact that it's going to be so cold there, maybe that actually helps him because it'll keep his body a little numb and maybe he won't be feeling the hits as much. But anytime you have a tear or just a major injury like that, it's going to affect you in some way.
Yeah, I think with Rodgers being such a good passer, having such good weapons with the two dominant receivers that he has, plus a great running game behind him, they can certainly put up points against the Cowboys. But is he going to be able to convert that third and four when he needs to scramble and run for the first down? Yeah. Maybe he only gets the 3 yards with this calf injury. Who knows? We have to. The game needs to be played, but I think we'll either say, you know what, Rodgers was clearly not healthy for that game, and it really affected the way the Packers moved the football, or we'll say, you know what, it was fine, and it didn't have any effect whatsoever.
Yeah, I just think the fact that he's injured is going to make this game a lot closer than I originally thought. I mean, we knew he's hurt, but this information coming out today definitely I pick Green Bay to go to the Super Bowl, but this matchup scares me now that Dallas is getting hot and Aaron Rodgers is a lot – feeling a lot more hurt than we originally expected. So this game's going to be a lot closer than we thought.
It used to be that the Packers never lost a home playoff game.
Yeah.
But I think it was Mike Vick. I want to say in 2002.
Yeah, the Falcons, yeah.
When he was with the Falcons, yeah, it'd be Brett Favre.
Yeah.
The Giants did it twice, beat the Packers twice at Lambeau in the playoffs. And then, who was the most recent team to do it?
San Francisco did it like a year or two ago, didn't they? Beat them when they went on their run to the Super Bowl?
I'm trying to think, did they win that game, or did the 49ers win that game, or did they lose that game?
Yes, San Francisco.
I think they won, because that wasn't the NFC Championship in the Packers.
Yeah, last year San Francisco beat them 23-20 in Lambeau Field.
Right, that was a good game. Kaepernick had a long run, and I think he had a long run and a pass to Anquan Boldin on the game-winning drive. But anyway, it used to be the Packers never lost at Lambeau. And
right.
Now, the last, I don't know, decade, they've lost four playoff matchups.
Yeah. I mean, that's – you fight for home field all year when you're in the NFL because that's the probably the biggest advantage you have in the playoffs. And if you can't hold home field advantage, then – That's what's going to kill you. So Green Bay, Lambeau's always been a tough place to play. Green Bay's always had talent on their team, so they cannot let a Dallas Cowboys team come in and push them around at home. They have to find a way to win this game. If they go to Seattle next week and lose the Packers, that's a different story. But when you're at home, you cannot let a team come in during the playoffs and beat you.
All right, we'll take a closer look at the Packers-Cowboys a little bit later in the show, highlight some of the fantasy players that you'll want to use at DraftKings this weekend. But more news, Julius Thomas, tight end for the Denver Broncos, he's still not 100%. He also is dealing with a calf injury.
Yeah, and Julius Thomas, since he came back into the lineup for the Broncos.
Ankle.
Yeah, Julius Thomas, ankle injury. So once he came back into that lineup for the Denver Broncos, he just hasn't been the same, not contributing to that offense like he was pre-injury. So it's going to be interesting to see what he brings to the table this weekend. I know, again, being a playoff game, you think he's going to come out there and maybe play, not that he wasn't playing hard, but put a little bit more out there. We don't know what we're getting out of him. So it's going to be interesting to see what Peyton Manning does and how he uses him. But they have to get Julius Thomas involved to really make a statement and come out there and say, look, this offense is what it was last year in the playoffs. We're going to drive through the AFC. We're going to get to the Super Bowl. But Julius Thomas being hurt is really going to hurt that team if he can't step up.
He started out fiery hot.
Super hot.
3 touchdowns in game one. And then he scored at least 1 touchdown in every game weeks 1 through week 6. With back-to-back 2 touchdown performances in weeks 5 and week 6. Then he stayed out of the end zone week 7, week 8. Week 9, he came back with a touchdown. Week 10, he came back with 2 touchdowns. And then his season really went downhill from there. Week 11, he only had 2 catches for 3 yards. Then he missed week 12, 13, and 14 with the ankle injury. So that's 3 games. Came back in week 15, he had 1 catch for 30 yards. Came back in week 16, 2 catches for 33 yards. And week 17, he wasn't even on the field.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, since he scored those 2 touchdowns in Oakland, in week 10, that he's had 11 targets in the next, 6 weeks, 7 weeks. So that is a that can't happen for this team to win this game. You have playmakers, you have guys you trust. If Tom Brady only had 3 catches or 3 receptions to Rob Gronkowski in the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season, what do you think that people would be saying in New England right now? They would not be happy. It's just a huge part of the offense. When you have a stud tight end on your team, a Jimmy Graham, a Gronkowski, Julius Thomas, that changes the dynamic of your entire team. And when a team doesn't have to prepare for him as much, it really makes life a lot more difficult on Peyton Manning and those outside receivers.
Julius Thomas had 12 touchdowns in 2013. He had 12 this year as well. So back-to-back years with 12 touchdowns, certainly very impressive. But his numbers for the yards and receptions took a big dive. 2013, he had 788 yards. This past year, only 489. Receptions went down too. 65 in 2013, 43 in 2014.
Yeah, again, I mean, missing, 6 games or 5 games obviously is going to hurt him, but it's still unbelievable to think this guy still caught 12 touchdown passes, only getting on the field for 12 games. And then 3 of those 12 games, he was nowhere near 100%. So that is just, obviously, Julius Thomas is a huge, huge player at tight end, and one of these guys that, if they lock him up for years to come, is going to be a great tight end in this league.
Yeah, we'll see. I was just actually going to say, it's funny you say that, because I was just going to say, I'm thinking about trading him in my Dynasty League.
Trading
him a year early instead of a year too late.
Now, see, I wouldn't blame you for doing that because a lot of things factor in as far as Peyton Manning, that factors in. I mean, if the Denver Broncos go on a run this year and win the Super Bowl, does Peyton Manning come back? Who knows? I mean, that's something guys want to retire going out on top, and I can see Peyton Manning doing something like that. Now, if they don't win the Super Bowl or get there again, odds are Peyton Manning is coming back to try to win another one. I think he's got enough left in the tank that he can make another run or two with his team. But Julius Thomas and Demaryius Thomas, 2 big free agents coming from Denver. So if they can't re-sign both those guys, we're going to see a different team for Peyton Manning to be playing with next year if he comes back.
Very good points. Both of those guys, the Thomas guys, 2 free agents for the Broncos.
2 Thomases, yeah.
All right, back to some news and notes here. Some coaching news. The Browns fired offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan. I can't think of a franchise that is in more disarray than the Cleveland Browns, because about a year ago, we heard from their owner saying that, you know, they fired their coaches, their entire coaching staff, and I think even their general manager after just 1 year on the job. They had a press conference saying, we're going to get it right, we're dedicated to this coaching staff, and then here they are firing Kyle Shanahan after just 1 season.
Yeah, so I guess they didn't get it right, obviously. If you're a franchise, an NFL franchise, you can't just bring a guy in for a year, and when he doesn't live up to your expectations or bring the offense or defense, depending on what side of the ball he's on, to where you want it to be in a single season, you can't. It takes time. You got to build a roster. You got to let these guys learn a system. You can't just bring guys in every year and keep flip-flopping coaches and bringing new systems and new philosophies into the locker room. That's what kills a franchise, and that's what the Cleveland Browns are doing to themselves, right? They're shooting themselves in the foot, and it's not going to stop unless they get some stability in that coaching department.
Now, I'm not supporting Kyle Shanahan by any means.
I'm not saying
that he's a great offensive coordinator. But here's what he had to deal with this year. And you let me know if this sounds fair to fire him after this year. A veteran journeyman who was coming off an ACL injury in Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
A very, very, some would say, raw rookie quarterback in Johnny Manziel.
Very raw, yes.
Three running backs. One of them got cut by midseason. The two others were rookies.
Mm-hmm.
A superstar wide receiver that was suspended for the first 12 games of the year. And a tight end, a Pro Bowl, former Pro Bowler tight end in Jordan Cameron that missed half the year with a very, very bad concussion. I don't know where the Browns thought all their playmakers, all those points, all those yards. I don't know where they thought it was going to come from. But with all those guys that I just mentioned, with all that being a problem, I don't know how they could blame Kyle Shanahan for the lack of offense.
Yeah, outside of a couple of pieces on your offensive line in Cleveland, nothing on your offense is really set. I mean, Josh Gordon's a playmaker, but with his off-field issues, who knows what happens with him, and maybe they try to, you know, make a trade or something with somebody, because Josh Gordon just... He's screwing up left and right, so this guy just needs to get his head on straight. Jordan Cameron, another guy, injury, so I think he'll be back strong next year. But same thing, that running back situation, like you said, is another thing that killed him. We expected Ben Tate to go in there, take that starting job.
Yep.
He's been waiting a few years behind Aaron Foster down in Houston, and we both really liked him coming into the season, and obviously disappointed. So they just don't have any real piece on offense that they could say, this is what we're building around. They don't. They need to get some sort of explosive playmaker. Again, Johnny Manziel was his first year. Maybe he turns it on next year. Who knows? I don't think so personally, but it very well could happen, at least bring a little excitement for a year or two there and get fans involved. But they need to have some very strong offensive drafts in the next year or two to make themselves relevant.
We have, I think it's six teams that are in need of new head coaches.
I believe it's the Bills, right now.
Doug Marone left. We didn't
yes.
even cover that because
he opted out
for our break. Yeah, opted out of the contract. The Bills, the Jets,
the Atlanta Falcons.
Atlanta Falcons, the Oakland Raiders, because Sperano's interim. So that's four.
Right.
The Bears, that's five. I think that's it.
No more Mark Trestman.
Five teams need a new head coach. And I bring this up because so far, no one's been hired.
Yeah.
There hasn't been any hirings, which is typical of the case because I guess they have to do their homework and they have to do a lot of interviews. But probably the biggest name out there being tied to the Atlanta Falcons job is Josh McDaniels, who, of course, is the offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. I think that's the best fit out of everyone that's available. Excuse me, six teams, the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, that's correct, yes.
But Josh McDaniels and the Falcons, I think that's a great fit.
I think Josh McDaniels going down there would be very exciting, seeing him coach Matt Ryan with Julio Jones and that offense. That would be a lot of fun. What the Atlanta Falcons need to do is shore up that defense. So if Josh McDaniels can go down there, get himself a defensive coordinator that he can trust. Look, I love Rex Ryan as a defensive coordinator. I do not think that man should be a head coach. I just don't think that's his forte. So if he can become a defensive coordinator under a guy who can run a strong offense and he can run a strong defense, a team can get very, very strong underneath those two guys. But Josh McDaniel going down there, I think, would be an awesome thing to see.
Kevin, are you around right now? Can you get on the mic real quick?
I am.
Was McDaniels there when Scott Pioli was still with the Patriots?
I'd have to look it up. That was a little before my time. Let me get back to you.
All right. Because obviously now Scott Pioli is taking over as the Falcons personnel guy.
Yeah.
So that would be even a better fit.
Another fit, yeah. I think Josh McDaniels had – did he have a couple runs with the Patriots? He was there, and then didn't he go to Denver?
Yeah, he was definitely here because he's been here on and off since 2001.
Yeah.
Okay.
A low-level assistant, so he was definitely here.
Pioli left in what, 2000? I graduated college in 2007, 2009?
Yeah, wasn't it after the Matt Castle year when he went to Kansas City and then brought Matt Castle with him, basically?
Yeah. I had lunch with Scott Perry.
Correct. He joined the Chiefs in 2009.
He joined the Chiefs in 2009, right?
Yep.
There we go.
So McDaniels at that point went to the Broncos, which was in the same division
Correct.
As the Chiefs.
Yep.
So that lasted, what, 2 years?
I believe he was there for two seasons, yeah. Because that we didn't he have Tim Tebow under him when they won that playoff
yes.
game?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so certainly some familiarity there with Scott Pioli and Josh McDaniels. That could be – I think that's a good fit.
I totally agree. I think that would be an awesome fit. He's a great offensive mind. I mean, if he can make –
a quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, if he can make Tim Tebow look semi-decent at points of his career and help him win a playoff game,
yeah.
then obviously with what Matt Ryan has down
yeah,
in Atlanta.
You have a solid NFL quarterback and then some weapons to play with.
Now, Patriot fans probably don't want to hear that their offensive coordinator is going to leave, but I don't know if he can pass up a head coaching opportunity.
No, I wouldn't blame him for that. I just that's what you do. That's what you're working towards if you're a coordinator or an assistant coach in the NFL. You want to be the head guy somewhere when you get your opportunity. Obviously, some of these guys wait till a better opportunity comes, but that Atlanta job is a good job, good offense. They're in a division that obviously is not – one of the tougher divisions in football, so it's not like a lot. You're going in there as the Minnesota Vikings compared to the Packers, Lions, and the Bears with good offenses and
right.
a couple good defenses. So Josh McDaniel down there, I think he could do wonders with that team.
All right, what do you say we take a quick break? When we get back, we'll go into some daily fantasy contests over at DraftKings, and we'll break down some player salaries as well. Divisional preview show on Fantasy Football Champs. Got a lot of action still coming up. You're listening to Patriots.com Radio. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace want to help you dominate your fantasy football league. Call in with your questions at 855-PATS-500 or email the champs at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Bill and Anthony.
All right, here we go. Divisional playoffs means a lot of fantasy football action over at DraftKings. They have some really awesome contests this weekend, so I wanted to kind of talk about some of the contests they have. And also, of course, some of the salaries, some of the players that you should be considering for your lineups. After all, this is a fantasy football show, so we still wanted to do, you know, NFL playoff preview, but also a little bit of fantasy action as well. So, and all season long, they did have the Millionaire Maker. We had some of the winners from this contest on the show. Two guys, two brothers from Boston.
And a brother, yep.
One guy from New Hampshire. Both were a lot of fun. Both were very, very, what should I say here? Excited doesn't capture their mindset after winning that $1 million.
Yeah.
I'd have to hit up the thesaurus.
Yeah, I don't know what word to describe, but was it our first guy, was it Mikey Millions? Is that what we were calling him, buddy from New Hampshire? Right. I believe it was him when he came on the air, man. His voice was just absolutely shot, and I do not blame him, because that dude, when you just know, sitting back on that Monday night game with your buddies or wherever you're at, and you know you're winning $1 million, it just has to be an extreme... almost surreal. You know, you get in the contest, you think everybody's got a chance. There's 90,000 people. Somebody's got to win. Maybe it could be me. Whatever. You know, you don't go in thinking I'm going to win this necessarily. But when it comes down to that point and you actually win it, it's just got to be, is this real? Am I dreaming? Someone pinch me, slap me, hit me with a frying pan? I don't know. But it's definitely a huge thing. And talking to those guys this year was awesome.
Well, there is a Millionaire Maker contest just for the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, four games, limited amount of players. So it's a little bit easier in terms of selecting the players they want to use, because it's a limited player pool this weekend.
Yes, definitely. I saw that the other day. I was messing around, making a couple lineups, seeing what I wanted to get into on the divisional round of the NFL playoffs on DraftKings. So I think that's interesting. They have another millionaire contest, but my first thought was, what happens if people tie at the top? Because with so few players, the odds of that happening are a lot bigger, I feel like.
I still have not seen a tie on DraftKings.
I know, and that's so weird. The fact that has never I mean, I'm sure it's happened, but the fact that we really haven't noticed or there was never really a controversy with guys finishing, you know, near the top of the pack, it's unbelievable to me. But if you dwindle that player pool and only have a couple games, it's bound to happen.
Yeah, the only thing that kind of prevents it from happening is they go to the second decimal point. What is that, the 100th?
Yeah, 10th, 100th, 1,000th.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess it is tough to tie when you're going to the 100th of a decimal point. But with so many players playing in these contests with limited NFL players, I think you're right. Now would be the time where we might see some ties.
Yeah, something crazy happening. So, it'll be real interesting. Now they got a lot of good action over on DraftKings this weekend for the divisional round, from what I was looking at.
Right. So this Millionaire Maker contest has $2 million in prizes, $1 million going out to first place, $100,000 to second, $40,000 to third, 25 G's to fourth, and 20,000 to fifth. Now, if you finish in 333rd, you still get $150. There's only 22,000 people in this.
Yeah, and that's not too bad at all.
Not bad. No. Top 3,000, 3,500 get paid, but it is $100. Now, during the regular season, it was $27. This contest is $100, but think about it. Regular season was 92,000 people.
Yeah, I was going to say that player pool is almost a fifth, cut into a fifth. So
right, this is only 22,000.
Yeah, that's awesome odds to pay a little bit more, like you said, 100 instead of 27. I know you're putting a little money out front, but your odds of winning something, especially a big prize, one of those top five prizes you were saying, your odds increase greatly.
Now, you want to talk about increased odds, you talk about the NFL $250,000 Divisional Thunderdome Contest.
Welcome to Thunderdome.
Which has $250,000 in prizes. Only 50 people can get in. And the top nine get paid out. So those are pretty good odds.
Definitely great odds.
But the entry mm-hmm. is $5,300.
One of those big boys, yeah. Every time I'm siphoning through the old lobby over on DraftKings, I always look at those. I like to just you can separate your columns by, you know, prize money or entry fee, and every time you separate and you see these $5,300 entries, it's just, man, you got to have some cojones to get into that, man. You really do.
I mean, listen, the top nine get paid. It's only 50 people, so certainly really, really good odds. But for $5,300, you're going to do on – oh, geez.
Yeah, if you finish 10th in that contest, you're going to hate yourself for losing that much money, especially
I would think so.
Especially if you're not some guy that just, you know, has got some cash to throw around and have some fun with. But it's a lot of money to throw out there. Like you said, great odds, one out of five, you're bringing some money home. But to go down and lose that much money just on one contest would be real rough.
I'm being a bit facetious about anyone joining that contest. But there are some much more inexpensive, or should I say affordable, contests to enter that have plenty of prize money. The NFL Big 10 Times Booster, where it's only $2 to enter, and you can win $20 off that $2 investment. There's a couple $5 contests where I think the best one that I saw was $5 will get you I just saw it now. I don't know where the heck it went.
Was it the 300K flea flicker?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, that looks like that's a good one right there. I think that at $5, you got, 69,000 people, I believe, that can get in on that one. But again, for $5, why not throw a couple dollars right in the ring and make it a lineup, see what happens.
Yeah, that's the thing. I like some of the bigger tournaments this weekend because it's like throwing money down on a roulette number. You know,
yeah.
you put $5 down on red 3 or red 5, and it comes out, you win $175.
Exactly.
I like some of these bigger prizes at the end of the year, only because all season long, I chisel away, right? I invest the money, or I play the contest where I'm not winning big, but by the end of the year, I have a nice little
chunk.
Bundle.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. A nice little bundle that I saved up for myself off the winnings. But now with the playoffs, you know, I'll do a couple of these. I'll throw a couple entries in, maybe four or five entries for $25, at a shot at $25,000 for first place.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, that's again, if you get a little bit of cash from there beginning of the season, you play some smaller games and tournaments throughout the season, build up a little bit of a bankroll when you get to this NFL playoff time. I think you're better off going to those bigger money tournaments because you have a better chance to win something. So I like the strategy that you use here, Bill. Bank it up throughout the season and see what you can do in the playoffs.
All right, so our point in all of this is the fact that there's really a contest for everybody. Whether you want to play for $1, $2, $5, $27, $100, or even $5,000, there's a contest for everybody. Don't do the $5,000 one unless you really know what you're doing. But if you want to just mess around with some of the $2, $5 ones, by all means, get in on the action this weekend, and we're going to try to help you out win some of these contests. Now let's take a look at some of the player profile or the player salaries for DraftKings this weekend. Of course, you can get in on the action on ffchamps.com/million or ffchamps.com/pats. That'll get you the deposit bonus when you sign up for the first time for DraftKings, and it also gets you our DraftKings player ranking. So what we have on FF Champs is, let's say Tom Brady is our number one quarterback this weekend. But at DraftKings, he's not their highest price quarterback. He's only $7,800 compared to Peyton Manning, who's 84. Andrew Luck is 87.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is 89.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's huge.
That we try to help out as much as possible at FF Champs. We give you some hints. We give you some tips and tricks. Excuse me. And we also have some really good articles this week by our guys Dan and Nick, too, so you want to check that out. So, again, like I said, let's dive into some of these player salaries here. And I kind of already gave it away. My favorite quarterback to use this week is Tom Brady because not only do we have him ranked number one, but he's the fourth cheapest quarterback option.
Yeah, Tom Brady, great matchup with the Baltimore secondary that obviously was bad all season. And like you said, when you can get a guy of that caliber, now again, there's only 8 starting quarterbacks playing this weekend, but still, Tom Brady is, what, the fifth lowest priced? Or
fourth.
Right in the middle, yeah, so fourth. $7,800 compared to someone like an Aaron Rodgers or an Andrew Luck, both near that $9,000 range. That extra $1,200 can really come in handy when you're looking to put another player in your running back or wide receiver position.
Absolutely. I also like Tony Romo at Green Bay, $7,600. I don't think that's a bad option.
Yeah, and then you also got, I mean, obviously Cam Newton going up against the top-ranked defense in Seattle, but for $6,700, we know Cam Newton can make plays with his legs. He's got an arm on him. Not saying he's going to go out there and put up Tom Brady or Tony Romo-type numbers necessarily, but if you can build a great running back and wide receiver core and use a guy like Cam Newton in there, he's going to put up some numbers this week for sure, even against a tough Seattle team.
Now, there's only 8 quarterbacks in action this weekend, and I do believe that the wise guys in Vegas have the Colts and the Broncos as the highest scoring matchup this weekend. I got to double check my facts on that. But
that would make sense.
My point, right, that's just kind of what I remember seeing the last time. But my point in all this is Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, $8,700, $8,400. If you're just going on the fact that you think that game is going to score the most points, then they're not that bad of options either, but like I said, bang for your buck, I think Brady's the way to go.
Totally, yeah. Again, Tom Brady, great matchup. A guy that's obviously been in the playoffs a lot. You're not going to get any cold feet or anything odd coming out of Tom Brady when the playoffs kick off. So you got a guy that's going to be stable against a bad defense, against the pass at home. Everything just points in Tom Brady's direction right now for DraftKings this weekend.
By the way, the over-unders for this weekend, Colts-Broncos 54, Dallas-Cowboys-Green Bay Packers 52.5, uh-huh. Panthers-Seahawks 39, Ravens-Patriots 47.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I figured Dallas and Green Bay had to be close to that Denver game, so that makes sense. And obviously Carolina-Seattle, I don't think we can expect a whole ton of points from them.
Only 8 quarterbacks in action. Only one can fit in your DraftKings roster. Like we said, Tom Brady, we like Manning, Luck, and then if you want to throw a couple dollars at Romo or Cam Newton, I'd stay away from Aaron Rodgers. I'd stay away from Joe Flacco. Probably Russell Wilson, too, at that price. Only because Brady's the same price as him.
Yeah, yeah, and Aaron Rodgers being the highest-ranked quarterback, again, with that injury, you just don't. If he's 100% healthy, maybe you find a way to work him in there, even though he's costing you a lot more than most of these other quarterbacks. But with that injury, you're putting a lot of risk on Aaron Rodgers this weekend if you use him.
Now, for running back position, there are a lot of steals, I think, this week. Because, let's face it, there's not a lot of running backs out there that will get the ball a lot. You know, you have your Eddie Lacy's, your DeMarco Murray's, your Justin Forsett's, your Marshawn Lynch's, your C.J. Anderson's.
Yeah.
But with a guy like Dan Heron stealing all the carries away in the Indianapolis backfield for $5,300, that's a great value. Maybe someone like James Starks at $3,000 finds the end zone. Maybe it's John Kuhn finds the end zone this weekend at $3,000. That's why the playoff contests are interesting, because you really have to get a little bit lucky, but also know who to get lucky with.
Yeah, it's going to be one of these second string running backs or third string wide receivers that has a big play that's going to push someone over the top. Like you said, a James Starks or a Bernard Pierce for a running back, maybe Davante Adams or Danny Amendola in New England have a big play and put up some points. That's what it's going to take. Everyone's going to use a stud, you know, at running back, one stud at wide receiver. You're going to see a lot of Rob Gronkowski out there at tight end, but you just got to get that one guy that can hit a home run play and hopefully put you over the top.
Well, let's assume that Eddie Lacy, DeMarco Murray, Marshawn Lynch are the three running backs that are going to be in the majority of people's lineups this weekend.
Agreed.
Second tier would be Justin Forsett, C.J. Anderson, maybe a guy like LeGarrette Blount, or do you put Dan Boom Heron in over him?
I would put Boom in over LeGarrette Blount just because, again, with that New England backfield,
yeah,
multiple guys can be touching the ball. Boom's going to be the guy in Indy. I know Denver has a good run defense, but what we saw out of Daniel Heron last week was he's catching the ball out of the backfield. If he can get you another 9 receptions for 80 yards, PPR setup on DraftKings, that's a huge, huge advantage over someone like a LeGarrette Blount who might get in the end zone. We don't know right now.
And then, so now you're looking at the players that are going to cost you less than $5,000. But like you said, you need to find the right one. So who do we like out of James Starks, Ronnie Hillman, Shane Vereen, Joseph Randall, or I'm going to throw a real wild card at you, Christine Michael from the Seattle Seahawks?
Oh, wow, Christine Michael, that is a real wild card out there. I think James Starks might be the best pickup out of the guys you named, because I think with Aaron Rodgers being a little bit banged up, they're going to go towards that running game a lot more, at least in the beginning of the game, see what they can establish. And if Eddie Lacy and James Starks and the Green Bay Packers can establish a nice run game against the Dallas Cowboys and kind of keep Aaron Rodgers from doing too much, running around too much, trying to escape pressure, I think that's what their game plan should be going into. I hope that's what it is, and I think James Starks, as far as a backup or a secondary running back, would probably be the safest play out of those guys you mentioned.
You know, I'm going to go with, yes, I do think James Starks is the safest, and his price is certainly very cheap, $3,000. Oh, yeah. I'm going to go with Ronnie Hillman. I think I'm going to put Ronnie Hillman in some of my lineups, because most people did not pay attention to what he did in Week 17, which is rush the ball 15 times for 56 yards. This was his first game back since Week 10.
Yeah.
So for him to get a lot of carries in that game, I think kind of shows me that the Broncos wanted to test him out to see if he was going to be healthy, to see if he can carry a full workload like he did when Monte Ball went down before C.J. Anderson emerged. Now, I do think it's going to be a little bit of a rotation, but a guy like Ronnie Hillman can be one of those sneaky plays this week that can really reward you.
Yeah, like you said, when he was getting touches in the middle of the season, he had a four-game stretch there from week 6 to week 9, 17 points, 26 points, 19 points, 25 points on DraftKings. So Ronnie Hillman, like, a sneaky play, got some work in week 17, and they're going to have to rotate him in to keep CJ Anderson fresh, keep them both fresh this game. They're going to pound the ball, try to wear down the Colts defense. So I love the Ronnie Hillman play by you, Bill. I definitely like that a lot.
All right, so now let's move over to wide receivers. The DraftKings highest-priced wide receiver is Demaryius Thomas, who also happens to be our highest-ranked wide receiver on FFChamps.com. So, actually, the first three guys that they have, we also have ranked in 1, 2, and 3 order. Demaryius Thomas, Dez Bryant, Jordy Nelson are our top three wide receivers, priced the same way at DraftKings, with T.Y. Hilton coming in at 4, Randall Cobb at 5. We have Cobb at 5, but we have Emmanuel Sanders at 4. Sanders, only $7,100. T.Y. Hilton, $7,600. I think I'd rather use Emmanuel Sanders, given that it's a PPR format at DraftKings.
I 100% agree. I don't think there's really much of a debate. T.Y. Hilton can get an explosive play, but we saw it last week. The guy dropped a lot of passes. Maybe he shores himself up and gets some better hands in there this week, but I'd rather take a chance and save $500 on a guy like Emmanuel Sanders, who you know is going to catch balls, who you know is going to be a huge target for that offense, on offense you know is going to score points, and Emmanuel Sanders has been scoring touchdowns. So that's another huge plus. Even though it's PPR, Emmanuel Sanders has been getting the end zone a lot this year.
Now, for the wide receivers for the Patriots, they have Julian Edelman and Brandon LaFell ranked back-to-back. But Edelman is $400 more than Brandon LaFell. Now, I know there was some news coming out this week that Brandon LaFell not back to 100% yet, but he says he's fine, and I fully expect him to play the full game against the Ravens this weekend. So for LaFell to be $400 less than Edelman, I'm almost more inclined to use Brandon.
I totally, man.
You agree with that? You don't have to agree with it just because I said you're the PPR monster.
No, I know.
PPR guy.
I do like Edelman, but again, when it comes down to DraftKings and the daily fantasy, you really have to take that salary into account. And Brandon LaFell being $400 cheaper, I know he's not as consistent as Julian Edelman, but this guy can break a long touchdown run. Not that Julian Edelman can't, but he's not a guy that's doing it as frequently. Brandon LaFell, we saw it a couple times this year. He can get deep. He could burn some guys. Not the speediest guy out there, but he can get behind defenses. And this Baltimore pass defense is just horrific.
If you break it down on price per point, like let's say you're projecting LaFell for 16 points. Let's say you're projecting Edelman for 12 points. The price per point, cost per point for Edelman is way above that of LaFell.
Huge, yeah. Now, while I'm building a lineup, I'm going to throw Julian Edelman in there first and try to work around and see what I can do.
Okay.
But if it comes to one of those things where you get your whole team in there and, you know, you got that minus 200 or minus $300 thing up top in the corner, then I'll swap out Julian Edelman and Brandon LaFell, and I would not really feel like I'm losing much at that point as far as points where I'm going to get them from. I think Julian Edelman and Brandon LaFell can basically almost even each other out at this point.
Cole Beasley, very cheap, $3,900. He has three straight weeks of double-digit fantasy points. Would you consider using a guy like Cole Beasley this week?
I definitely think he has to be in consideration because, like you said, this is the second highest scoring game predicted out in Las Vegas and only by, a point and a half behind that Denver game. So Cole Beasley, he seems at the end of the year to be, I don't want to say turning it on, but he's had double-digit games the last 3 weeks and five of the last seven. He's got that PPR-type feel to him. He's getting possession receptions. I do like him. I think, again, this is going to be a high-scoring game, back and forth, offense, offense, offense. I think Cole Beasley's a good option for a cheap wide receiver.
All right, and how about the last position that we're going to discuss because we're not going into defenses here? Tight ends. Obviously, I think everyone wants to go out and grab Rob Gronkowski, which certainly could be a great move.
Yes.
By far the best tight end in terms of overall season with stats this year. Rob Gronkowski is $7,100, the most expensive tight end, not even close. Julius Thomas is $5,300. Greg Olsen is $2,000 less than Rob Gronkowski at $5,100, and he's the third highest priced tight end that's going on at DraftKings this weekend. But it's almost a lock with Gronk at this point. You know what you're going to get from him. You know he's going to be involved in the offense. So for $7,100, yes, that's a big price to pay, but you know what you're buying when you invest in a guy like Gronk.
Yeah, and I think I would rather take the risk and spend that extra, $1,500 on Rob Gronkowski, put him in my lineup, as opposed to putting someone like Julius Thomas in, who we haven't seen much and hasn't been consistent coming down the stretch of the season. So $5,300 on a guy like Julius Thomas, who we don't know a lot about, we haven't seen a lot out of the last couple of weeks, really scares me. I'd rather take the risk and, like I said, spend that extra money on Rob Gronkowski, a guy we know is going to be extremely solid, a guy that's going to be looked for by Tom Brady first and foremost in this offense. And after that, I'll go below Julius Thomas. But Julius Thomas, I think, is the one tight end this week that I do not want to touch, even though he has a nice matchup.
Jason Witten is $4,800. He's not bad. Tim Wright, only $3,000.
Another sneaky play, Tim Wright. Yeah. I like that pickup. He's a guy again, you're not going to see a lot of receptions out of Tim Wright more than likely, but he's a guy that they look for in the red zone. He can score a touchdown, maybe get in the end zone twice. Hey, if he has 2-3 catches and gets in the end zone for you once or twice, I think that's a damn good day out of Tim Wright.
All right, so that's some of the players. Those are some of the players that we like for the DraftKings Divisional Playoff Contest this weekend. You can check out our full rankings at ffchamps.com. You want to get in on the action, you don't know what contest to get into, hit us up on Twitter. At Bill Enright, at FF Champs, at the PPR Monster. We'll try to help you decide which contest would be right for you. Because, again, there's a lot of them, a lot of different entry fees, everything ranging from $25 all the way up to, anything ranging from 25 cents all the way up to $5,000. So certainly a lot of action, something for everybody, but we want to help people win, and we've been doing that all year long at ffchamps.com. Anthony, what do you say we take a quick break? When we come back, we're going to get into our playoff predictions, divisional round, game by game. We're going to tell you who's going to win. We're going to tell you who's going to go home packing. We're going to tell you who's going to be in the AFC, the NFC Championship. That's all coming up next right here on the Fantasy Football Champs, Patriots.com radio.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Anthony Grace and Bill Enright are the Fantasy Football Champs.
All right, welcome back. Patriots.com Radio. We're live for another 45 minutes left in today's show, so we have plenty of time to get into our predictions for the NFL Divisional Playoffs. Now, what I want to do, I think we should start with the two NFC games, and then we'll do the two AFC games. So it's not chronological order. But it's the order I want to go in, damn it. And I think I have that liberty.
All right. Hey, I don't think anything can hold you back from this, man. We'll do whatever you want.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Carolina Panthers and the Seattle Seahawks kicking off Saturday, 8:15 p.m. The game is in Seattle. We saw Carolina beat the Arizona Cardinals last weekend. Of course, Seattle has home field advantage throughout the playoffs. They are this year's number one seed. This year at home, over considering what we've seen from them in past seasons, this year at home, they were a little bit more vulnerable.
They were. Even though the Seahawks finished seven wins at home, they didn't look like that dominant Seattle team in the Northwest that we saw last season and maybe even the season before. I know Pete Carroll, as the coach of Seattle, he's a great coach in the back half of the year, and he's got a 5-2 playoff record with his home record being perfect at 4-0. So having this game at home is definitely going to be a huge, huge deal for the Seattle Seahawks, especially in the playoffs.
Now, these two teams met this year.
They did?
I think it was back in, I had it up a second ago.
It's like week 8 or 9, somewhere in the middle
I think
believe,
it was earlier
right?
than that. I want to say, I got to look it up real quick. But anyway, it was a very close game. And in fact, the Panthers and the Seahawks have gotten together the last 3 years, and it's always been a very close game.
These two teams are both built around their defenses. And obviously, when it comes to the playoffs, when it comes to getting into championship mode, what do they always say? Defense wins championships. And these two teams have proved that even if you have an offense that sputters and can't consistently put up points for you, if you have a solid defense, you're always going to be in the running. And when you're just going over those over-unders for Vegas this weekend, Bill, I mean, this game was, what, 10 points below the next the next highest over-under. So it's going to be a very big defensive slugfest type game in Seattle this weekend.
I think you're right, and they did play in the middle of the season. October 26th
okay.
is when they got together. Seattle won that game, but the score was only 13-9, and it took a Russell Wilson last second play. I believe they scored with like 50 seconds left.
It was like at the end of the game,
They had a touchdown. Russell Wilson had the only touchdown of the game, but the score was 13-9.
Yeah, very, very close game. And the fact that Seattle won that game in Carolina, it just makes me think that going home to Seattle, that I don't have a lot of faith in Carolina winning this game. I mean, again, being a defensive team, could it happen? It very well could happen. If you have a strong defense, anything is possible for your team, especially in the playoffs.
September 8th, 2013, 12-7. Seattle won that game. Very close.
Another close one, yeah.
October 7th, 2012, 16-12. All of these games, now, we all know that I'm not good at math, so what's 13 minus 9? 4 points, right?
So, yeah, all four-point games, it sounds like.
12 minus 7, 5 points.
5 points, and
16 minus 12, 4 points.
Another four, yeah.
All of these games have been decided by a touchdown or less the last 3 years these teams got together. The Panthers are getting 10.5 points this week, and yet the last three times they've all played, the game has been decided by less than a touchdown. Very interesting.
10.5 points. That's pretty crazy.
Now, you did mention that the Panthers are very much a divisional team, defensive team, and that's true. and I'm going to botch the hell out of his name. I botched it a couple years ago when he was coming out of, I believe, Utah.
Star Latulier.
Is that how you pronounce it?
That's how I've been saying it, so I'm not going to stop now.
I say Lotulele.
Lotulele.
Which is not even close, because there's no Lele at the end. But
well,
I'm not saying it.
We can call him Star. I mean, there's not many guys named Star in the NFL. I think people already know who we're talking about.
Out with a broken foot.
Yeah, saw that. Since he came into the league, was it last year or 2 years ago now he's been in the league? He's been a good defensive tackle for that team. That's going to hurt them, and I think that opens things up real, real well for Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn Lynch finished the year with 1,300 yards on the ground, 13 touchdowns. What a phenomenal year for him.
God.
On the other hand, Jonathan Stewart, the Panthers' leading running back, 800 yards, 3 touchdowns on the ground.
Yeah, and again, Jonathan Stewart of late, he's been playing extremely well, so I expect to see a game, like we said, a lot of defense, a lot of handing the ball off, a lot of Marshawn Lynch and Jonathan Stewart in this game, and I just think that Marshawn Lynch is going to have the advantage because Carolina's defense is a little more banged up and just not as strong as Seattle's overall this year.
Now, the Panthers did have 2,000-yard receivers, and I say receivers with quotation marks, because tight end Greg Olsen had 1,008 yards with 6 touchdowns, and rookie Kelvin Benjamin, I don't know if this is right, this might be a stat issue, but he also had 1,008 yards, which is a really weird number for both players to have. He had 9 touchdowns this year, so 2,000-yard receivers for the Seahawks, no one even close for the Seattle. Let's back it up here. Throw it in reverse real quick. 2,000-yard receivers for the Panthers. No one even close for the Seahawks.
Oh,
Doug
no.
Baldwin, 825 yards. Jermaine Kearse, 537 yards.
Yeah, and again, Seattle is not the kind of team that's going to go out there and throw the ball. Obviously, Russell Wilson has shown in some games this year that he can find receivers downfield, he can throw the ball downfield when need be. But that's just not their game plan, and it's never going to be their game plan with the way their team is set up right now. So until they get a superstar stud receiver in Seattle, they're never going to be the team to throw the ball. So not shocking to see none of their wide receivers getting to 1,000 yards, but the Kelvin Benjamin and Greg Olsen with Cam Newton down there in Carolina, they have a nice little nucleus. If Jonathan Stewart can stay healthy, a nice little offensive nucleus that they're building down there in Carolina.
All right, so I'm looking at a couple different sites, checking the stats of Kelvin Benjamin and Greg Olsen.
1,008,
I can't be the only one blown away by this. They both finished with 1,008 yards? What are the odds of that?
Unreal. Unreal. 1,008 for both of them, yeah. No, you're not misseeing it. It's correct. 1,008.
They both average about somewhat of the same yards per game on offense. The Panthers average 346, Seattle about 30 yards more, 375. They both allow about the same amount of, have the same amount of passing yards per game, 219 for the Seahawks, 219 for the Panthers, 203 for the Seahawks. So that's pretty close. But the rushing yards per game is where the Seahawks blow the Panthers out of the water.
Jeez.
172 compared to 127.
Yeah, and again, that just further proves the point we're trying to make here with Seattle. They're going to run the ball down the throat of the Carolina Panthers. That's just going to be their game plan. I cannot see that not being the case. And it's not just Marshawn Lynch. Russell Wilson,
right.
As far as quarterbacks go, look, he's not RG3. He's not a guy that's going to look to run, a Johnny Manziel, a Tim Tebow, but this guy can run when he needs to. He just has, for such a young guy in the NFL, he has such a presence, he has such a just poise to him in the pocket. He can throw the ball, like I said, but when he needs to take off and run with the ball, this guy can motor down the field. He's had 300-yard rushing games this year. That's unbelievable for a quarterback in a season.
It's I don't know the last time that has ever happened, if it's ever happened. Three 100-yard rushing games.
Michael Vick's the only guy I can think of that potentially could have done it, because he was that guy early 2000s that came in and obviously guys, teams didn't see a guy that can run and play quarterback like that. Now, Russell Wilson's a quarterback that runs, where Michael Vick was a guy who runs that they put a quarterback. Right. But Russell Wilson is just a tremendous talent. I love watching this guy play.
All right, let's take a look at their defenses now. Points per game allowed. The Panthers are giving up 23 points per game. The Seahawks, 15. So certainly a big edge there for Seattle. Rushing yards per game, and this is where we think it's going to be in the Seahawks' favor. Their rushing attack against the Carolina defense. Remember, Seattle is averaging 172 yards per game. Panthers are giving up 112 yards per game. Yeah. That's a big number for a team that is built on defense to give up over 100 yards rushing the ball. The Seahawks only give up 81 yards against the run. And again, they're giving up about 267 yards per game, while the Panthers are giving up 339 yards per game.
Yeah, and like I said, you got the number one rush offense in Seattle against a middle-of-the-pack Carolina's rush defense with Starr being out at that defensive tackle position. It's going to be a huge blow to that middle-of-the-Carolina defensive line.
All right, so let's break it down here. What needs to happen for the Carolina Panthers to pull off this upset?
Man, I don't want to say they have to play a perfect game, but I think they have to play a close to perfect game. They have to have a huge defensive showing, and they just need to rely that Jonathan Stewart and Cam Newton can move the ball with their legs and just keep possession as long as possible. I know Seattle's not really a quick strike offense, but look, we've seen the kind of runs Marshawn Lynch can have. All it takes is for him to break a little bit free. This guy can move down the field. He'll throw people out of the way. Same thing, Russell Wilson can move on the ground. He can get the ball to receivers when they get open. So Carolina needs to play just an all-around, super solid, near-flawless game and hold on to the ball and keep possession as long as they possibly can to keep the ball out of Russell Wilson's hands.
I think in order for the Panthers to win this game, it would be such a fluky kind of thing that they need a fluky kind of thing to happen during the game.
But
a blocked punt.
Yeah.
A kickoff return for a touchdown, a pick six, a fumbled snap on a three-yard line that the Carolina Panthers recover and convert for a touchdown. Something that we don't expect, a mistake from Russell Wilson that he usually wouldn't make. Something along those lines, I think that's what needs to happen for the Panthers to win this game. Now, anything's possible on any given Sunday. Vegas strongly believes that the Seahawks are going to win this game. I'm not afraid to say, though, that this is my upset of the week. I'm taking the Carolina Panthers in this one. I said it last week. I'm not going to change my mind. The Panthers are going to win this game.
Bold move. Bold move to go with the Panthers, Bill. I like it. I can't go with Carolina, though, in this situation. I think Seattle wins this game. And out of all the games this weekend, I think Seattle is the lock to win. I can see any of these other games going either way more so than I can this one. So I think Seattle is the lock to win this weekend.
Kevin, you want to gang up on me? Chime in here.
Uh-oh. Did we lose him?
We might have.
All right. Well, hopefully he's okay. He's cold, man. Maybe he froze up in there.
I was just going to say that microphone might have froze.
Can't move his fingers. If we can't get the commercial break, Bill, we know something's wrong with Kevin.
Exactly. All right, let's move on to the second NFC game. Kevin.
There he is. All right.
You want to hear my
story? Are you okay, buddy?
Well, my mom called me, and I got worried.
Oh, well, is she worried that
she knows I'm doing radio, and so like when she calls, it's usually like an emergency, but that was not an emergency. So I scolded her.
What's the can we get a temperature update? Studio's
probably, I'd say, high 30s, low 40s.
Oh, jeez.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
And you're inside somewhere.
I am inside, but all the doors, I mean, the outside is not far away, and it's right. Like, you know, it's concrete that's separating me.
Yeah,
it's
no insulation down there.
Yeah, and it's not real thick concrete. it's just those cinder blocks, like, stacked up. You know what that is.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing.
Ugh. And then, you know, the ceiling.
Concrete floor.
Concrete floor. The ceiling is, though, it's like, it's that stuff that, you know, those tiles that you can kind of press up?
The dry
right,
panel.
Like almost styrofoam.
Yeah. So if I press those up, I could, like, say I put a ladder up, right? And I pressed those thing up and stuck my head up through the thing. I would see the outside of the.
Right.
So there's nothing coming from the top, really, either.
Yeah, you are in.
Well, I got a like I said, it looks like I'm outside when you see me. I got a long sleeve shirt, a fleece, a jacket, a winter hat, and some gloves, which makes it a little hard to press buttons with these gloves on.
Good thing they're not mittens.
No, they're not. They're actually my awesome girlfriend a couple of years ago got me. They're like these Eddie Bauer gloves, and they're kind of made for like using your phone with your gloves on, so you don't have to take your gloves off. So they're pretty good around the fingers. They're not too bulky. So I can work the faders pretty good, but when it comes to like hitting the buttons, it's pretty hard.
Everything else team issued?
Everything else is team issued, yeah.
Yeah, you're very lucky in that department.
It is. I do well. What were you asking me, though?
Panthers, Seahawks, prediction. Who you got?
Prediction? I'm going to take the Seahawks all day.
Yeah, that's what Anthony said. I'm taking the Panthers. That's my upset.
Well, yeah. Well, you called that on Tuesday, so you can't back off from it now.
I know.
It's the Bill Enright lock of the week.
That's my lock of the week. Yep.
All right.
Lock it in. Now, that's my upset of the week.
That's a lock.
So you're not feeling confident then?
No. Listen.
Can your lock be your upset of the week?
It can, but in this case, it's not. My upset of the week is the Panthers over the Seahawks.
I respect that.
Yeah.
I respect that.
All right, but so anyway, what do you say? What,
my mom called me because she was concerned about how I was doing in the cold. And I was like, you couldn't have waited like a half an hour
that's
more?
That's what I figured.
And I was like, Mom, I'm okay. Don't worry. She's like, I haven't heard from you all day. I was like, Mom, I don't call you every day anyway. But anyway.
Well, that's good that she's concerned.
I was worried she had like fallen down in the snow or something and needed to be picked up. So that's why I answered the phone.
No, that makes sense. What do you say
I've
we move on to
fallen,
the next?
And I can't get up.
The next NFC game, Dallas Cowboys versus the Green Bay Packers. Certainly one of the most high-scoring games that Vegas predicts will happen this weekend. Two good quarterbacks, two good running backs, two great offenses with some superstar wide receivers. Now, the Packers certainly have the edge when it comes to postseason experience. Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers, both Super Bowl-winning quarterback and head coaches. Tony Romo, Jason Garrett, well, no, not so much. Packers were 8-0 at home this year. The Dallas Cowboys were 8-0 on the road this year. Something's got to give, gentlemen.
It has to.
What do you think's going to happen?
Man, this is going to be a this might be the most exciting game of this weekend. If Aaron Rodgers is playing 100% healthy, I think it's not that much of a I don't want to say not that much of a contest, but I think it's a lot more work for the Dallas Cowboys to win this game. Aaron Rodgers not being 100%, if Dallas can shut down Eddie Lacy in that running game and get some pressure on Aaron Rodgers, this game could go in Dallas' favor. Like we said on Tuesday, Bill, Dallas came into the playoffs with the hot hand in the NFL, and we all know if you have a hot hand, what can happen to a team. So, hot hand, they get Aaron Rodgers on a bum leg. All signs are pointing towards Dallas winning this game right now, I think.
All signs point to Dallas winning this game. Is this going to be your upset of the week?
I don't know yet. We got two more games, and I think out of the three games we have to pick between Dallas and the two AFC teams, I think all three road teams can win those games.
Oh, man. I just think that Jordy Nelson has been so good at making that one play where he turns a 15-yard catch into a 60-yard touchdown. Randall Cobb has been so consistent with the amount of receptions that he has on third downs. Eddie Lacy has been so strong down the stretch, and their defense is starting to play a lot better as well.
Yes, it is.
It's going to be cold, and yeah. I think that really favors the Green Bay Packers. DeMarco Murray was the best running back in football this year. Tony Romo has been lighting up the scoreboard, connecting with Dez Bryant, who had, I think, like 12 touchdowns over the last 11 weeks of the season. They've been on the same page. They've been red hot. So I do think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a lot of offense. It could be the highest scoring game of the week. But I'm still taking the Green Bay Packers in this one. They've been my Super Bowl prediction all year. I'm sticking with them. I'm going with Green Bay.
Yeah, I can't blame you. Like I said, I can see this game realistically going either way. It's going to be a ton of points. The only thing that will shock me in this game is if we get a 13-10 type score. Outside of that, nothing will shock me. I could see Green Bay coming out and just blowing the doors off the Cowboys, and I think it'd be harder for Dallas to do the same thing, but if Dallas goes up, you know, 21-10 or 21-3 to start the game, I don't think anyone will be surprised because it's another high-octane, high-scoring offense. So we're going to see points. Not as much defense as probably most of these other games, and it's going to be close, but I think, man, I know it took Green Bay to get to the Super Bowl, but I think Dallas is winning this game.
Kevin, what's your prediction here?
I'm going to stick with my gut and go with Green Bay.
All right, so Kevin and I are going with Green Bay. Anthony, you're going with the Dallas Cowboys, but you don't want to make it your upset of the week. So does that mean one of the other two matchups from the AFC will feature an underdog overcoming the favorite?
Yeah, one of my AFC matchups is going to be my upset of the week.
All right, I like to hear it. What do you say we take a quick break? When we get back, we'll get to Anthony's upset of the week. We'll preview the Patriots and Ravens, Broncos and Colts. That's all coming up next. Right here, Patriots.com Radio. You're listening to the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive.
Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace want to help you dominate your fantasy football league. Call in with your questions at 855-PATS-500 or email the champs at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Bill and Anthony.
All right, final segment of the show. We have done our NFC divisional playoff predictions. Now it's time for the AFC playoff predictions. You heard Anthony say in the previous segment that his upset of the week will come from one of these two games, Broncos, Colts, Ravens, Patriots. Let's save the Patriots games for the Patriot game for last.
All right.
We'll start off with the Bronco game. Denver Broncos, Indianapolis Colts. These two teams played each other this year in week one. They will play each other this weekend, 4:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday. When they got together earlier this year, September 7th, the Broncos won by a touchdown, 31-24. They played last year. The Colts won that game, 39-33, Peyton Manning's first game back in Indianapolis. So, we have a little bit of old versus new here in terms of the Colts. Same old, at least for the last couple of seasons, with the Broncos, Peyton Manning at the helm, Andrew Luck at the helm for the Colts. Both really good offenses. I think the Broncos do get the edge in the defense department.
Definitely.
They probably get the edge in the wide receiver department. Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, they definitely have to.
Over T.Y. Hill and Reggie Wayne.
Yeah.
Tight ends, though, Colby Fleener and Dwayne Allen, they've been coming on strong. Julius Thomas, we discussed him earlier in the show, really fell off after that double-digit touchdown game against the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, I obviously Julius Thomas, if you're building a team right now and you have a chance to get one of these three guys, I think Julius Thomas is the first guy you're going to. But as far as how they're playing currently today right now, yeah, you can't argue against Kobe Fleener, what he's been doing. And Dwayne Allen obviously is one of Andrew Luck's favorite targets in the red zone.
And then, of course, you have a big rotation at running back all year for both of these teams. Colts started off with Ahmad Bradshaw. Broncos started off with Monte Ball. Both of them are on the injured reserve list. Then they kind of went to Trent Richardson. Broncos went to Ronnie Hillman. Neither of them have been playing lately. Instead, we've seen the third-string guy, Dan Boom Heron from the Colts, C.J. Anderson from the Broncos. Anderson, much better second half of the season compared to Heron. But I'm just saying it's been a rotation in terms of who's toting the rock for these running backs from both of these respective teams.
Yeah, definitely. These guys, both teams went into the 2014 season with who they thought was going to be able to help their team in that backfield get to this point. And they both got here, but not the plan they were taking. Obviously, Monty Ball in Denver had huge expectations, and he fell short, not just because he fell short, also injury plagued him. Same thing with Ahmad Bradshaw. I mean, Ahmad Bradshaw was playing absolutely great this year before he got hurt. So I think the running back situation from where they started to where they got to, you got to say that the Denver Broncos obviously got better in that situation, whereas the Indianapolis Colts, I don't want to say they're a lot worse with Boom Heron in there over Ahmad Bradshaw, but they would much rather see Ahmad be able to play in this game.
The Vegas, the wise guys out in Vegas are giving the Colts a 7-point underdog, or a 7-point underdog here. The Broncos are a 7-point favorite.
Yeah,
54 points this game as you over under.
Man, that's
yeah.
Again, this one, this game with the Dallas Cowboy Green Bay Packer game, one of these two games is going to be the highest scoring game of the weekend. It has to be, doesn't it?
I would think so.
Yeah, I mean, again, I can see New England putting up a lot of points, but I'm not sure Baltimore can counter it if New England gets out to a huge lead. But both these teams, Indianapolis, Denver, they can score anytime from anywhere on the field. So we're going to see a lot of points put up in Denver this weekend.
I think, given the fact that the Broncos were in the Super Bowl last year, they won the AFC Championship over the Patriots. The Colts, we saw them last week against the Cincinnati Bengals. We saw them last year get blown out by the New England Patriots in the divisional round. But the Broncos have struggled early in the playoffs, specifically Peyton Manning. If he doesn't get to the Super Bowl, if he doesn't get to the AFC Championship, he looks really bad in some of these divisional losses.
Yeah, I can't. No one can argue that point. Obviously, Peyton Manning, and you hear this all the time, no matter who you're talking about Peyton Manning, no matter what you're watching on TV or radio station you're listening to, everybody says the same thing. Peyton Manning is the greatest regular season quarterback ever. He falters in the playoffs, and we don't know why. Maybe the spotlight's too big. I have no idea. But Peyton Manning is the kind of guy that once he gets into the playoffs, you're not necessarily getting the Peyton Manning you saw all regular season, and that's a scary thought.
All right, so Andrew Luck has taken his team to the playoffs in every year that he's been in the league. His rookie season, lost in the wild card game to the Ravens.
Yep.
Last year, lost to the Patriots in a divisional round. Is this the year that he takes his team one step further again, this time to the AFC Championship? Anthony, who are you taking in this game?
Yeah, this is my upset. I think the Indianapolis Colts go into Denver and win that game.
Okay, upset of the week. Colts are taking on the Broncos, and they're going to overcome that 7-point underdog, and they're going to beat the Broncos this weekend.
Yeah, I know a lot of signs point towards Peyton Manning having the advantage over Andrew Luck. I know, like we said, their wide receiver situation is a little bit better, but Andrew Luck still has weapons to throw to. He still has a running back that is good in the backfield. I know the defense isn't as strong as the Denver Broncos, but that Denver Broncos offensive line coming down the stretch didn't impress me, and I think that the front of the Indianapolis Colts can get to Peyton Manning, and if he gets rattled and he gets hit hard, we all know how he plays when he gets flustered. So I just think the Indianapolis Colts take that next step. Andrew Luck takes that next step, becoming the leader, the next quarterback of the future, basically. I think Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers is going to be the Tom Brady, Peyton Manning of the future.
I do agree that Peyton Manning has certainly struggled maybe the last month of the season, right? He hasn't been throwing the ball a lot. He certainly hasn't been, the Broncos as a team certainly haven't been putting up those big-time numbers that we were accustomed to seeing. But I'll tell you what, Andrew Luck has really, really struggled with turnovers. He has, I think it's 4 turnovers in his last 3 games.
Yeah, he does. He came out and had that great streak of 300-yard passing games at the start of the season.
Yep.
Looked like he was going to run away with, you know, being the best quarterback in the league this year, definitely from a fantasy perspective and potentially from a real NFL perspective. But he did. He slowed down. Both these quarterbacks seem to slow down at the end of the year, and I know Andrew Luck is more prone to turning the ball over than Peyton Manning. Look, Andrew Luck on the road, two playoff games on the road, hasn't won a game. He's got two touchdowns and five interceptions, so he very well could throw two, three, four interceptions in this game and just one or two touchdowns, but I just think he's going to be focused. He's going to be ready to take that next step. All this talk about the Indianapolis Colts drafted Peyton Manning back in 98, and then they got Andrew Luck in that next draft when they needed to get a franchise quarterback. Look, it worked out great for him, and I think Andrew Luck knows that he's got to take this next step to prove to people in Indianapolis and his team that, you know, there's no more talk about Peyton Manning compared to Andrew Luck. He's going to take that step, and beating Peyton Manning in the process would be a huge, huge thing for him to do.
Would that solidify it?
Solidify what? Him being...
Yes. This is my town now. Indianapolis, you answer to me. I'm the sheriff.
I really think so. I think that Andrew Luck winning this game would definitely say to that city, to that town, to that franchise base that, look, I'm going to be the man going forward. I know you had great years with Peyton here. I know he's got you to the playoffs virtually every year he was here, but I'm doing it too, and I'm going to do it better, and I'm going to get us further, and he got you on Super Bowl. I'm going to bring you home too. So I think Andrew Luck is – that's it. I love Andrew Luck. I love what I see out of him. He's that one guy in the league right now, a younger guy that just came out, pocket passer. He's got wheels. I don't know the best. He's like Peyton Manning where he can throw the ball all over the field, but he's got a lot more with his legs and a lot more ability to get out of the pocket and scramble and move around than people give him credit for. He's just that perfect breed of quarterback.
You better be wearing my jerseys now tonight. You going to the what is that dome called?
The
RCA Dome.
Lucas Oil Stadium.
You go to Lucas Oil Stadium, you're wearing number 12. Forget about that number 18 crap.
Yeah, damn right. Andrew Luck, man, he's going to do it. He's going to become the man in Indy. The man, the myth, the legend, Andrew Luck.
All right, well, I'm not agreeing with you there. I'm taking the Broncos.
It's totally understandable. I don't blame you.
All that being said, I'm taking the Broncos.
All that being said, hey, yeah, look, again, we expect a high-scoring game, expect a game that's going to go back and forth. So if Denver wins this game, am I going to be shocked? No, and that's why I'm calling it upset.
You had to take an upset of the week, and that's yours. So
damn right.
Props to you. Kevin Collins, what do you have for a prediction for this game? Was that a breath of frost coming out of your mouth, or was that you're just taking a sigh? Was that the last bit of oxygen leaving your body? Hyperthermia? No, I never saw it. Now, anything dealing with heights, I probably won't watch. Mount Everest seems like it's a...
It's pretty tall.
Yeah.
It's not a place you just want to go to. I guess.
Random ass statement.
It's totally. It's in one of those weird locations. Like, who's like, yeah, I got time to go on a vacation. Let's hang out in Nepal.
Broncos. Anthony took the Colts. Well, this was your opportunity for the upset of the week, Kev. Oh, you can't say that. Who are you picking? So you're not going to pick. You're not going to have an upset of the week. Yes. Yes. Well, Anthony's put his money where his mouth is. You're leaving him high and dry. Okay. So then you're not. All right, now, finally, Patriots-Ravens. I logged onto the Patriots website today, and they had a really cool video playing before you got to any of the content. Really good stuff by whoever, you know, maybe that was our boy Nathan up in the web department.
Could have been.
Pat's web guy. Definitely was not. Oh, well, it could have been. How do you know? You didn't even know what he does. Oh. But they did a really cool video, got me pumped up for the Patriots. I'm sure all the fans are looking forward to this game. This is the first game of the week. 4:35, is it, I believe? 4:35 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yep.
Certainly a good rivalry, especially in the playoffs the last couple of years. These teams have been meeting each other a lot in the postseason, but I think we all understand that it's a little bit different. There is no Ray Lewis. There is no Ed Reed. Joe Flacco is certainly taking some strides forward. Steve Smith is now on this team. And remember last year, Steve Smith had plenty to say after.
Oh, no, you're going to ask him because he didn't finish the game. Ice up, son. Ice up.
That, did you know I was going to take it there, Kev? Because that's what makes you so good, man.
Pretty much.
What does that mean? An extra what? Yeah. Well, no.
That's awesome.
Wait, what is Patriots all act? What is? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, awesome.
Nice.
Very cool. Right.
Very five. Cool. All right.
Wow. That would be great. Tweet out that picture if you can get it.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun to see. All right, so back to this game now. It is certainly a rivalry with the Patriots and the Ravens. The last couple of years, they've met a lot in the postseason. Tom Brady is 12-3 at home in the playoffs. Of those three losses, two of them have come at the hands of the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah. Anthony Grace, if you're a Patriot fan, does that make you worried?
It should. I don't understand why you wouldn't be nervous. I mean, obviously, you have a great offense, and your defense is much improved. But the Baltimore Ravens, when they come into New England, especially during the playoffs, they play them tough. Like you said, they've beaten them twice. They've been there three times. And that third game in 2011 that they lost 23-20, damn well could have went their way, too. They had that touchdown to Lee Evans that got knocked out of his hands, which was a real close call, and they missed that chip shot field goal to tie it to send it to overtime. So if you're a Patriots fan, the Ravens are the last team that you want to see in the playoffs.
The Patriots have had a bye in the playoffs for five straight years, which is a record amount in the NFL.
Unbelievable.
Five straight years they have earned a bye.
Unbelievable. Yeah, Tom Brady, since 2001 when they went on that run and Tom Brady got them to win that first Super Bowl against the Rams, he's been in eight AFC championship games out of 11 playoff appearances. I mean, that's just – it's almost a lock to say that the New England Patriots are at least going to play to get into the Super Bowl almost every single year.
All right, well, it's time to break down some predictions here. So Patriots-Ravens I've said it all year. I'm sticking with the Patriots here in this game. I think they're going to go to the AFC Championship. No reason to change my mind now. Anthony, what do you say about this game?
Yeah, man, the Baltimore Ravens winning that game in Pittsburgh really I can't say I'm totally shocked, but it kind of threw me for a loop. I didn't think – it was the only team that I thought could really beat New England in the playoffs. Man, the Ravens scare me, too. The Ravens have played in 22 playoff games in their franchise history, 17 on the road, and they're 13-4 on the road. Three losses coming to Pittsburgh, and that one to New England in 2011. So they're a very good road team. I think there's going to be a double upset in the AFC. I think Baltimore's going to upset the New England Patriots. I don't want to say it, but I got to go with my gut, and I think that's what happens.
Anthony Grace taking two upsets of the week. This guy's crazy.
And God. Like I said, the New England Patriots, I was feeling them. They're making a run this year, but the Baltimore Ravens are the one team that I just thought could have some firepower against them. That's their kryptonite in the playoffs. So I'd like to see New England move on, but if one team's beating them this year, it's going to be the Baltimore Ravens.
Now, Kevin Collins has yet to make a upset of the week prediction. So you just made two of them. So you've made enough for Kevin and yourself.
Thank God.
Because Kevin, I know he's not taking the Ravens.
No, I'm not. But I think it's going to be a tight game. I think it's going to be a dogfight.
Really is. I think.
I don't think there's going to be a ton of points. There's some people around here locally that have said that they thought the Pats would kind of like stretch it out in the second half. But I don't think the Patriots are getting to 30 points.
23-17 type game.
Yeah, I could see something like that, 24-20. But the difference is, Ant, and this is what I've been pounding on since training camp, this is the first Patriot team in my 5 years that I think can go into a game like this in the playoffs and not play very well offensively and has the defense to kind of win the game.
I really don't know what is scaring Patriot fans about the Ravens. Their offense,
it's not great.
It's very basic.
I'm not afraid of the Ravens offense really at all, Bill. Just kind of afraid of the, I think their defense is, you know, it's not what it was, but it's still respectable. And I think that in general, Bill, the team has like a winning DNA. I think they have a winning coach,
true,
a winning front office.
Sure.
And they have, you know, some links of those past teams that gave the Patriots fits. And I also think there's a lot of familiarity with, you know, Dean Pease, who was with us for so long as their defensive coordinator.
Uh-huh.
And then a point that I brought up that nobody's talking about is Steve Spagnuolo is one of their I think he's their secondary coach.
Yes,
and he was the Giants defensive coordinator in 07-08 that shut the Patriots down. Pretty much arguably the greatest offense in the history of the modern football era.
Yep.
And he shut the Patriots down. So you have two minds, you know, that potentially could cause some issues for the Patriots. So I think all those things are playing into my decision-making. But, Bill, you hit the nail on the head. I don't think the Ravens can score enough points against this Patriot defense in these conditions, in this building, which is why I think the Patriots win similar, like, you know, 23, 20, 24, 21, something in those lines, 24-20.
Okay.
I think you're going to see, like, a 3 to 4 point Patriot win in the low 20s.
How about Anthony Grace taking two upsets of the week? I like the swagger.
And Dallas. I got three road teams pulling it off.
And Dallas. He took three upsets of the week.
I give you props.
Going out there, man. Now, hopefully I'm wrong on this Baltimore prediction because I'd like to, you know, come back here and keep talking.
Yeah.
But, my God. I don't want it to happen. I just sadly think it could.
Bill, if the Pats win – next week is just going to be me and you because Ant's outcast because he's just selling us down the river here.
Well, that's the thing. It's always tough this time of year because we do want to say an official goodbye. If the Patriots lose, that's what this would be, our official goodbye. That being said, we don't want the Patriots to lose. You bet your ass we want to be here next week talking to you about the AFC and the NFC championship game.
Yeah.
So let's hope the Pats win. Let's hope Anthony Grace's third upset of the week pick is incorrect.
Yeah. I hope so.
And we'll be back next week.
And if Ant's right, Bill, just take a quick drive up here on Saturday night and take all the sharp objects away from me, okay?
I will. I actually might be up there next week, Kevin.
Good.
I might have a meeting in Boston on Tuesday. I'll talk to you about that later.
Okay.
But again,
we'll talk offline, as they say.
Yes, we'll talk offline. Excellent show, as always. I want to thank everyone from Patriots.com. I want to thank all of our members from FFChamps.com. And, of course, I want to thank our sponsor, DraftKings. You can win real cash playing fantasy football over at DraftKings for the NFL divisional round. Kevin Collins, last words. What do you got?
Hope to see you guys Tuesday.
Anthony Grace?
Anthony sucks.
I do suck, but hopefully we're back Tuesday. I totally agree. Let's go, Pats.
All right, we'll be back on Tuesday. I just have a good feeling about this weekend. Best of luck to everyone out there in your fantasy leagues. Have fun at the Patriot game. Dress warm. It's going to be a cold one. And enjoy the NFL divisional playoffs. Have fun and be safe.
Thanks for listening to FF Champs on Patriots.com Radio. Bill and Anthony are back live every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time to answer all of your fantasy questions. Log on anytime to Patriots.com to download our latest FF Champs podcast, available after every show. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of Fantasy Football Champs.